Hallelujah. We got so much to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk to you this morning about your gift. Your gift. Not my gift. Not anybody else's gift, but your gift. God has gifted you. We're going to see that clearly today in the Word. God has gifted you. Not me. And we think about that. We think about people standing behind the pulpit or, you know, singing or doing whatever. But those are only gifts that certain people get. But everybody gets gifts. Everybody gets gifts. But I want to read this to you, and then we'll start commenting on it. So good. So good. Verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." Is the end of all things at hand? I mean, from my standpoint, it has to be. Why? Because the evil that men are thinking of and doing right today, how much worse could it get, right? And I believe that even now that we are at the door of entering into the great tribulation, I believe that time is coming where you know, men are just going to be so given to themselves that they won't listen to God, right? We're at that time. So what does that mean that we need to do? That we need to be serious, watchful in our prayers. In other words, God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to show me what to do and how to do it and where, when to do it and why to do it. Verse 8, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister to it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Let me read that verse 10 again and put you in there, right? "And you have received a gift, so minister it or serve with it to one another. Be a good steward of the manifold grace of God." You know, a steward is somebody who acts on behalf of somebody else. A steward is somebody that serves at the bequest of somebody else. A steward is one who says, "Lord, I'm yours and you've given me a gift, but Lord, I'm serving for you. But even the gift that I have, I don't get to get credit for because you gave it to me." Right? I need to acknowledge that. I need to be with that. But watch this. We need to understand that I have received a gift from God. But that gift from God is tied to ministry. Is tied to service. Now, don't get it wrong, because some would read this, yes, you need to be in the church 24 hours a day. You need to be doing whatever, you know, is put before you. But I would tell you that whatever God has called you to do is your ministry. Yeah. Right? I remember years ago, there was a young teenage girl, and she came up to me, and she was kind of weeping, and she was going, "Somebody prophesied to me that I'm supposed to be an evangelist, and I don't want to disappoint God." And I said to her, I said, "Well, what is it in your heart to do?" And she said, "Well, I want to become a nurse. I want to serve people." I said, "Honey, forget the other thing and just go for what God's put in your heart. Because God's gifted you to be a nurse." Do you hear what I'm saying? So whatever that is if it's a father, if it's a mother, if it's just somebody that's working, you know, a secular job, it's like God has gifted you to do that, but you must understand that He's given you the gift to it for a couple of reasons, so that you can be in that place as a testimony to God. Right? Hallelujah. I want, wherever I am, I want to be a testimony to God. But I have to believe, right? What do I have to believe? I have to believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In other words, God, if I'm seeking You in this place that I am, if I'm being watchful in prayer, if I'm really after for everybody else's heart, God, I can serve You right where I am. But Lord, I need You to know that I'm going to give You all the glory because You've gifted me to do what I'm doing. And once God has put something on your heart, you know, it's not an automatic thing. Right? And we're going to talk about that. God gives you a gift, or He hands a gift out to you. You're able to receive it, but you have to do something with the gift. I said, you have to do something with the gift, right? I mean, look at a person who, you know, they may be gifted to play the guitar, and they play it for a month or a week or a year, and they put it down, and they don't ever touch it again. They haven't developed their gift. We had a bass player in here. Many of you know Matt. And Matt was a gifted musician. I mean, really gifted musician. He played with some famous bands and all of that. But here's what Matt did when he was a young boy, like 10, 11, 12 years old. He got a hold of a bass guitar. And when everybody else was out playing, he was developing his gift. He was in his room playing the bass guitar, learning to a lick that somebody else is doing and learning to play that and learning to play that and learning to play that. Well, there might have been another Johnny over here who was gifted in a bass guitar, but he never spent the hours in his room developing the gift. Right? So God can grace you with a gift, but the first thing is to ask God, find out, what is that gift? And it's not necessarily going to be written to you on a chalkboard in the sky. This is what I want you to do. The main way that He communicates your gift with you is He puts a desire in your heart for something. Well, I believe God wants me to be a teacher. Well, then go to school. Right? If that's really what God has called you to do, then do some studying. Right? I remember Marilyn Hickey is a great Bible teacher. I mean, she is fantastic. I mean, when she's teaching the Word, it's like, where does she get all that information? And somebody came to her and they said, listen, we really appreciate your teaching gift. Would you lay hands on us that we might receive that same anointing? And she said, well, if you'll do this, I'll do it next year. I said, what is that? I want you to go and I want you to study the Word for 8 hours a day, every day without fail. I want you to memorize this and memorize that. And without fail for 8 hours a day, I want you to be in the Word. And some days it'll be 16 hours. And some days, and they were going, wait, back up. We just want the gift, right? And what she's saying is that you might have the gift, but the gift must be developed. Are you with me? So we have to recognize and understand that I'm gifted from God for purpose. You know, that purpose might be taking care of somebody else. That purpose might be working a job or doing something else, but you're gifted by God to do that job, to do that. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at a couple of these things, and we'll just see evidence that I'm gifted. Everybody say, I'm gifted. Say that with a little more authority. I'm gifted. I'm gifted from God. For purpose. Let that sink in. I'm gifted from God for purpose. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too that. Forget all of that. So we said, yeah, you know, and many of us would go, boy, I wish I would have done this when I was 20. I wish I would have done this when I was 30. I wish I would have done that. Well, I'll stop right there. But, you know, I'll stop right there. I wish I would have done that then. Well, What can you do about that? Nothing. Not a zip. We're not going in the Wayback Machine, right? That's not happening. But what we can do is say, Lord, if there's something I was supposed to be doing and I didn't do, I repent for not obeying you, but I'm here right now. And Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to develop that thing that I should have developed a long time ago. I'm going to start stepping into that and working at that, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's start out in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Everybody say, I'm in each one. Say that again. I'm in each one. That means this applies to me. It says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to the profit of all. Now watch this. The manifestation of the Spirit is God's presence in your life having an effect on somebody else. Right? The Spirit of God manifests, it just means He shows up in you for His glory, but also to bless somebody else. And how do we get to the place where we're active in that? If you go back, and we're not going to go turn back there, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, it said it's the last days. You need to be watchful in your praying. In other words, we on a consistent basis all the time should be asking God, God, what is it that you want me to do? And the answer from that is the gift that He'll give you. Come on, that is so good. That is so good. We're going to look at some of the gifting that's outlined in the Bible, but what I'm saying is do not limit yourself or God to this A list or another list, but watch this. And I want to say this really strongly. Never receive your gift from a human being. Let me say that one more time. Never receive your gift from a human being. Now, a human being might witness your gift. God might send another person into your life, a mentor, to help you develop your gift. But your gift comes from God, and that's who you need to receive it from. Right? I mean, I've been in so many places. Years ago, my son Michael and I were at this conference, and it was one of those conferences where words of knowledge were given out, you know, prophecy. And I'm all for that. I'm for that. But we're in this circle, and we're praying, and people are praying for us. They pray for me. It was awesome. They began to pray over Michael, and they said, you have an anointing. Your anointing is just like your father's, but it's twice as long, twice as strong, and it's a double portion of that anointing. And I went out, when we got out to the truck, I looked over at Michael, and I said, listen, son, you don't let anybody else call you. And you don't be pressured by somebody else's word. You just follow God in your heart. And He'll take care of that. Yeah. Right? So what I'm saying is sometimes we're trying to fulfill a gifting that somebody else has called us to. And we're not comfortable in it. And it's not working out. And we're frustrated by it because we haven't heard from God for ourselves. But once you hear from God in that gift, there's several things that you need to do. But let's look at this a few more verses. Verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. You have a gift. Everybody say that. I have a gift. God's given me a gift to bless others in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 28 says this. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Then he goes on to talk about love. Right? But watch this. Everybody is supposed to be gifted by God for His service. Now, I want you to see a couple of things in here that we don't look at. First of all, first is apostles. And when we think of apostles, we think of, you know, like the 12, and we think about these high people in the church. And, you know, I had a fellow come to me, and I'd been pastoring for a little while. He said, God has called me to be the apostle over this area. And what he was really saying to me is, I need to come and tell you how to run your church. That's what he was saying to me. You know, of course, I didn't pay much attention to that. But in one sense, because I was sent here to pastor this church, apostle, all it means is one who is sent. One who is sent. Let me say that one more time. The baby's distracting you. One who was sent. Right? And so watch. There is an office of apostle. I'm not putting that down or mitigating that. But what I'm saying is this, is that it's a sent one. There are apostles all over the world today that were sent in certain places. Sometimes we call them missionaries. But it doesn't have to be missionary to Mexico. It doesn't have to be missionary to Taiwan. It doesn't have to be a missionary. What has God sent you to do? Right? And He's sending each one of us to a different place because we all have a different sphere of influence. Hallelujah. Are apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, and administrations of a variety of tongues. Helps. What helps? God has gifted people to help? Yes. Help in what? Everything. I've known people that were so gifted in helps, it's incredible. Right? Now, there isn't necessarily, that I've read in the New Testament, a category for the worship team. But they're a help. Right? They help usher in the presence of God. There's a place, watch this, we have to find out where it is in our heart that God's placed us to be a help. And look at this. It's so important that we figure out that I'm gifted. God, what is it that you want me to do? And if all that's on your heart to do is to help somebody else fulfill the ministry that they have, guess what? That's God speaking to you that that's your gift. So what do I need to do with that gift? I need to acknowledge that gift. And then I need to develop that gift. And how do I develop that gift? By operating in that gift. Come on. You know, I know that like when I felt that I was called, actually, way back before I was saved, when I was in fifth grade, I knew, and I'd made God a promise that I would serve Him. Long story, I'm not going to get into that. But the reality is that I knew I was called. So what did I do after I got saved and was walking with the Lord? I need to go get schooled. So I went to a Bible college. I spent a couple of years studying the Word of God, just studying the Word of God. And after I got out of, well, even while I was going to Bible school, I was in a church. I knew I was called, but they needed an usher. So I volunteered to usher. Because in my heart, I was called to do that at the moment. I felt like yeah, I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to help in that area. But watch this. I expected to be anointed to usher. Why? Because the Spirit of God that calls somebody to pastor calls somebody to usher. And the same anointing that is called for somebody to be a pastor is needed for somebody to usher. In other words, God wants to use everybody to demonstrate His love to other people. So this is what I did. I felt like it was a calling to be in that area. And my area was probably a section like this of chairs. And what I'd do is I'd get there 30 minutes before every service that I was ushering, and I'd pray over every seat. Why? That was my section. That was my calling. I was taking that seriously, and I wanted to guard over the anointing that was going to come into those chairs so that people got what they wanted to get. Sometimes giftings are stepping stools to other things. God said it this way, you be faithful in this, and I'll make you over this. And then you be faithful over that, and I'll make you over this. But we tend to keep score on how big our ministry or our service is or our bank book is and figure out that that's the criteria for really being successful in God. But here's the formula, write it down, the formula for success in God. It's complicated. It might take you a little while to write it down. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. What is God speaking to your heart? Do it. How do I grow in my gifting? You hear what God's saying and you do it. Sometimes you don't want to do it. Do it anyway. Right? Sometimes nobody else will come and pat your back and say, boy, you're doing a great job. That has no bearing on whether you're doing and operating in your gifting. When God has told you to do something, you do it. Yeah, but no buts. Why? Because I've been given the gift, but now I need to grow in the gift. I said, I've been given the gift, but now I need to grow in the gift. Let's look, for time's sake, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Y'all getting anything this morning? Hallelujah. You know, I like a verse, and this verse is amazing to me. The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That gives me great hope. Why? Because I might not have done everything God called me to do last week, last year, last decade, the last 20, 30 years. I may not have done it, but His calling and His giftings, He doesn't take back. So in other words, if I was called to do what I'm doing now when I was 20, I'm still called to do it. And the same is true with you, right? Because His giftings are without repentance. Look at, you know this verse. Or listen to this. In chapter 2, it says this. Chapter 3, verse 2. It says, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God that was given to me for you. Paul saying this, I was given a gift, but that gift was not for me, it was for you, but it's through me. And then go down real quickly to verse 7. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace that was given to me by the effective working of His power. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul had an opportunity when he was thrown to the ground on the way to Damascus. And even when Ananias came to him and said, these are the things that you're going to go through, but God wants you to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul had an absolute opportunity to stop and say, I don't want any part of that. But he recognized the gift, and he went out to do something about it. In fact, he started to preach right away. That didn't work out so well. But then he went out into the desert. And the Bible talks about like 2 or 3 years in the desert. He said, I didn't consult any man. What he'd do is he'd go to the synagogue, the local synagogue. He grabs a scroll because that's how they read their Bible. He'd take that and he'd begin to read it and pour over it and pour over it and pour over it. And the Spirit of God within a 2 or 3 years gave him the revelation out of the Old Testament, what Jesus produced and we're now living in the New Testament. What am I saying? Paul was called, but Paul had to also prepare. God was calling Paul, but he was also preparing Paul. Now we know this. All the gifts that God gives us are by his grace. That's what Paul was talking about here. Have you heard of the dispensation of grace that's been given to me? Can you say that? Have you heard of the dispensation of grace that God has given to me for you? We should be able to identify that. And if we can't, that's okay. Just get alone with God and say, God, what is that grace that you've given to me that you want to use through me to bless somebody else? Right? Because when we get there, we're at the place where God can help us to fulfill the gifting that he's given to us. Now watch this. This is really important. In Ephesians chapter 2, and you know these verses, but it says that we are saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, but we're saved by grace through faith. So everything that we receive by God is because he wants to give it to us. But our step into that gifting is believing that God has spoken to us. Right? For instance, I mean, you're sitting, you're praying, you're thinking. I mean, you might be even watching TV and you get this thought. Take some chocolate chip cookies to Marty. Right? And you think, she makes better chocolate chip cookies than I do. Why would I take Marty chocolate chip cookies? But the Spirit of God is gifting you, and he wants to use those chocolate chip cookies so that he can get his message to Marty. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you might go sit down with Marty, and you're talking to her, and something comes up that you're able to minister to her by the word of the Lord. There may be an anointing. There may be just, you're just going there to encourage her. You're just going there to bless her. But you have to be obedient. Watch this. You have to believe that God has spoken to you, but that's not enough just to believe that God has spoken to you. You have to act on what he says. In James, it says, listen, it says, faith without works is dead. You can be gifted in the things of God, and you can act on, or say, listen, I believe God's called me to do this. I believe God's called me to do that. But if you don't do anything about it, then you're just blowing smoke. Right? You're just blowing smoke. Let me just give you a couple examples, and then I'll quit. God said to us when Bishop Frank was over and he invited us to go to Africa, in my spirit, he said it this way, and we've just been talking for a little while. He said, your gift is needed in Africa. And I thought, wow. Huh? Sitting in a little office, you know, a little 10x10 office in the middle of nowhere, your gift is needed in Africa. I don't know if you know this, but it takes a lot of money to go to Africa. Money that I didn't have. But I felt in my spirit when he said that, that I was to go. Right? Now what if I would have said, listen, God, you're speaking to me to go give my gift into Africa, but when I get the $1 million check, I'll do it. Right? When these three things line up, I'll do it. No, what we had to do is we had to first say, Lord, and pray about it. Lord, I really believe that you're wanting me to go. And then we had to go on the line, out on the line and say, we're going to Africa. Right? And then what did I have to do? I had to renew my passport because it had run out. I had to get some shots because they were required. Right? I had to do certain things in order to fulfill the call that God put on my heart. So how does that relate to you and to me? God might be speaking to us or declaring to us something that we're supposed to be doing. We have to first believe that He's speaking to us. We have to receive it by faith and know that it's God who's telling us to do it. And then if we know that it's God telling us to do it, we won't let anything hinder us from taking the first step toward accomplishing it. Right? We can't let our lack of education or our age or anything else keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Why? Because there's somebody out there that God needs you to be in the place where He can bless them through you. Sharon's word this morning, right? Aaron and her, they didn't get all the glory, but they were gifted to hold the arms up of Moses, and the result of that the battle was won. Who should get the glory that the battle was won? Should it be Moses? No. Should it be Aaron? No. Should it be her? No. It should be God, because God gifted each one of them to do what they were doing. Your gift is needed. Your gift is wanted. Your gift has been given to you by God. Talk to Him about it and begin to operate in it and let Him grow it in you, in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've called me to preach your word. And the reason that you've called me to preach your word, Lord, is because you wanted to touch me with an anointing so that I could speak and other people could receive what you were saying. So this morning, I believe, Lord, that you're speaking to hearts, whether they're in the room, whether they're watching on their computers, Lord, I believe that you're speaking to them. Your gift and the ability to use your gift is not entirely based on you. It's based on Him, Lord. Lord, it's based on the fact that you've anointed us and you've equipped us. It's not our ability to get it done, but it's you working through us. And Lord, I thank you for touching people this morning, Lord. I thank you for ministering to them in Jesus' name. Everybody with me, just declare, Father, my life is yours. Come on home, just say it with us. My life is yours. I lay it down for you. Show me, Lord, what area you want to use me in. Lord, if you speak to my heart, I will be obedient. I trust you, Lord, that if you ask me to do something, you will equip me to do it. Because, Lord, I can and I will do all things through Christ who gives me the ability to do it. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for the opportunity to be used. Thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, repent of your sins. Ask Him to come in. He'll make Himself clear to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks you for joining us right here in Jesus' name. If I could have the worship team come up just for a few minutes. Let's just worship Him. Remember that we have potluck afterwards. That's going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Just to talk and fellowship with one another. But I believe God wants to demonstrate Himself right now in Jesus' name. I feel in my heart, and when I was